Oh, hey guys, what's up? It's Josh Eppard from Coheed and Cambria. Don't mind me, I'm just mouthing one of my band's songs as I sit here and take a dump. I'm not really taking a dump. I am actually taking a dump. You're listening to All Things Coheed Podcast. We're very excited. Some of the fans put it together, namely Cindy, Devin, and a guy named Rob. And hey, the band's going to listen to it because we're super narcissistic. All right, later.
I'm John Rua, and you're listening to the All Things Coheed Podcast, otherwise known as We Know What's Up Podcast.
Welcome home to the All Things Coheed Podcast. Why am I still fucking here? I'm Cindy.
I'm Devin.
And I'm a guy named Rob.
Hee hee, I'm booty.
Oh, wait, what are we talking about? Oh, no, that's right. We're talking about SS Never. That's a, sorry, I had a moment where I forgot the decision that we just made.
Oh, yeah. So Cindy ran a poll, and she won, and then chose to not do the choice that won. But that's fine. It's whatever. You know, she just likes messing with us. It's like the mean older sister.
Listen, it's not like it wasn't close. You know what I mean? Like, this was a very close poll. People want to hear about both these things again. I mean, we literally just dropped a minisode today, and we've just been talking about it in the All Things Coheed Discord. By the way, check out the All Things Coheed Discord. You could probably find a link.
See, but that's the thing. That's the thing that spawned the poll. You two just released a minisode. I chose to sit it out and then had regrets, and then you guys were doing it at a time that I was not available. And so then I listened to it today, and the entire time – but honestly, you stroked my thought box, and then we had the conversation in the group chat.
Can you phrase that different?
It's a lot. What? Seriously?
Rob, you're a child. You're a literal child. It's amazing.
A literal actual child. So anyway, like I was saying, but it's okay. We'll get there. We'll get there. Just gives me more time to hone in these theories. Like, I feel like Devin and Rob and I each had moments today where we were like, oh my god, we figured it out. Like, you know, we're probably way off base, but it's so much fun, and I really missed that.
Yeah, we haven't had moments like this in a really long time. And it's just been like,
since the Dark Senator, pretty much. I mean, that was,
yeah, you know, almost as long as the podcast has been around. So this is kind of took me back today. It was like, oh, this is very sweet. We're still a bunch of nerds that know absolutely nothing.
So ridiculous. We're so ridiculous.
You know, we said that whenever we started this, that if it ever stopped being fun, we'd stop doing it. And I mean, it's
why,
like,
hasn't
we're
it,
still
and,
talking.
And, right? And even I was like, I'm going to stop doing it. It wasn't really fun for me. But now I'm like, oh my god, it's fun again. Maybe I'll just be your on again, off again co-host.
Absolutely will be.
Today, we're not talking theory, not yet at least. We are talking about the SS Neverender. This is going to be a multi-part episode series, whatever, two episodes, maybe three, probably three, because we got to have some fans weigh in on this, not just us talking your ear off for however long this lasts. But
no, I think it's important to note the fact that Cindy, Devin got to go and enjoy themselves and have a great time, and I unfortunately did not. So I can't wait to hear about this just like the rest of you.
I mean, to be fair, I was really preoccupied a lot of the time. So, like, for example, there's a bunch of things on our topic list for this episode that I wasn't there for. And I haven't had a chance to watch Devin, who's absolutely amazing, took videos of everything, which I'm sure he will link in the comments of this episode. Anyway, you can actually watch all of these things for yourself and see them on Devin's videos, which is really fucking cool. Thanks, Dev.
You're welcome. In our next episode, we'll talk about why filming everything is also not the best idea, but anyway.
Yeah, no, I would not have done that. I took very little photos and videos.
It was a great time, and Rob, we really wish you could have been there with us, bud.
No, it's all good, you guys. You know, I mean, I think at the end of the day, you know, all the things that you got were amazing, Devin. I mean, truly amazing. Like, really high quality stuff. Really felt like you were there. But then, you know, the other generals, they're picking up the slack. You know what I mean? Like, we've got Rob P. This, and it's just like, hey, by the way, here's these full performances of all these Coheed shows. And also, here's the one for the Deer Hunter. Here's two for the Deer Hunter. It's like, this is incredible.
That's why this fan base is fucking awesome. We don't let FOMO be a thing for very long. So we're going to kick this off. Devin, it's only right that you talk about the experience of boarding and what that was like coming on the boat and like seeing the things. And I mean, come on, man. Describe.
Cindy was on the boat before I was. I'm just throwing that out there before I jump into this, but
I wasn't even going to say it. I was going to let you have it, Devin.
No, well, I mean, Alyssa and I went through the entire process of, you know, getting our COVID test, putting our luggage with the people, and waiting in the holding cell, going through security, all that fun stuff. And we were the first in the boarding groups that were let onto the boat. So Alyssa and I were the first two people that took that weird entrance onto the ship, and I filmed that as well, so you can kind of see our initial reactions. But there really was just something special about stepping into the heart of the ship, seeing SS Neverender projected on the huge screen on the atrium wall, and then you turn around and on this glass staircase are all these window clings of scenes from the Amory Wars. It was breathtaking, and it was like, oh man, we're in for something truly special. It was really, really cool.
There were a lot of little details, like there were signs hanging up next to the main bank of elevators on deck 7 and down from the atrium, and like, you know, pointing like arrows, if you want to go this way, go this way, you know, like, and in the background of that was from comic book panels, and like just so many little details that was like, wow.
I mean, speaking of little details, like there were so many displays, like it's almost innumerable to like mention every single one of them individually. There was just so much history, at least from the images that we saw on Instagram and everything. It's just, it's incredible.
They had a really nice welcome toast, which occurred pretty shortly after people started getting on the boat. And after that, I think a lot of people just had to go back down to where they came in and look at everything again. Because, you know, there's the 8-track where Claudia recorded some super early stuff. There's all these all-access passes and guitars and tour books and just cool stuff that is iconic in the history of Coheed.
Costumes, set pieces, things from videos past. It's like, wow, I can't believe this stuff got, you know, held on to for that long.
I mean, right down to, like, even, like, the very first Coheed shirt that there ever was, and then Claudio's Breaking Hearts and Breaking Guitars shirt. I mean, there was just, it was so many little details. And then, it's funny because I just realized this, like, the other day, but in the, like, museum gallery, there were these two masks, and it was the prototype masks of the Vaxxis and Sister Spider masks. And I realized the other day that they're actually the masks that were worn in the Unheavenly Creatures music video.
Honestly, the art gallery was one of the coolest things on the ship because there were a lot of lines that occurred for like the Amory Wars immersive experience, for some of the shows and signings and stuff. And some of the lines actually went through there. So you did have something to look at and experience. You know, even in times where you think you'd be bored, there was always something Coheed around. And the people on the boat were just indescribably amazing.
Dude,
like,
that's the fucking craziest thing about, like, it was like we stepped into, like, this alternate universe where everybody, literally everybody, is the nicest person ever. Except for security. Except for security, which Devin learned the hard way. That's another story for another episode. everybody was so nice. The Sixthman staff, fucking stellar human beings. The NCL staff, like, seriously, it was insane.
And he honestly wasn't even mean. I mean, maybe a little, not as understanding.
Listen, Devin.
We have to get into this now. We've already said too much.
By the time you came out, I had already squared up with the guy, and he was mean.
Okay, so you know what? That's a later discussion. Sorry, Rob.
Nope, you've teased it enough. You have to say the story now. Congratulations. No. You've dug yourself a hole. Let's go ahead.
No, we're not there yet. We're not there yet.
We're not there. We're not even discussing it on this episode.
Fine.
But what we are discussing is the first part of our immersive experience in the Amory Wars. You know, you are surrounded by these Klings, the art gallery, these museum pieces, but one of the highlights was the Faint of Hearts bar. Son of a Glitch is one of the usernames, and I'm forgetting the other one, but they played Alakiller or Kilgannon.
Yeah, so the other one is Chaz Nuxall. It's at CNobody on Instagram. And Glitch is also on Instagram, and you said that Son of a Glitch. It's really cool because we worked with several fans on some of these immersive experiences, and they ended up being just incredible. You know, it started with like a random email thing, and then they ended up being the absolute perfect fucking cast for this. Embodied these characters, stayed in costume, really enjoyed it, like really played it up. Al the Killer went to several shows in costume. I mean, he authentically injured his head on the first night of sailing, which it was the craziest thing. And he was like, nope, let's do it. I'm still going to do it. And we're like, absolutely not. We're going to go get that looked at and make sure you're good. But they're just amazing. Super awesome people.
So, Rob, to explain to you what happened, you go to the Faint of Hearts bar and there's like a special menu of like Coheed-themed drinks. My personal favorite was the 10-speed, which is just a shot of Jaeger.
I'm going to interrupt because I'm so pissed that at no point on that cruise did I remember. And I knew. I saw these menus like 2 months ago. And I never ordered a single Coheed-themed drink. I failed. I failed big time. Like, epic failed.
Cindy, our deck won the opportunity. We made the Al the Painkiller drink.
Yes, there was... listen, I did not go for coconut. That was a non-starter for me.
All right, fair enough. So, Rob, basically, you go to this bar. It's already a bar, like, that was from the cruise. But it kind of... put up this neon sign, and it's just, you're there. You see it, and you're like, I'm in the Faint of Hearts bar. They have the bricks from the comics laid up on the walls, the mirrors there, the pictures there, and there's a table with all the fun little tchotchkes from the issue cover of In Keeping Secrets, where Claudio's throwing the cards, right? And they act out the scene where they play cards for the transport. And it's phenomenal. It was so awesome. It was literally watching a comic book come to life. It was the coolest thing.
That's the thing I'm the most jealous of, are those experiences, those the little things, you know? You can only see so much, and then I'm like, oh, I wish I could just, you know, look around for a second. It's just...
I have a video. I have a video of the skit playing out, I think. I'm pretty sure. You know, and what's, I think my favorite thing is how naturally the two of them just, it was so cool. It was so fucking cool. You know, you're walking through Faint of Hearts and you look and Al the Killer and Claudio are battling it out in their card game with the authentic Faint of Hearts cards.
Gosh, we gotta get high quality pictures of those. I gotta see them.
I mean,
I think they're on Instagram, right?
Yeah, people, I mean, they gave the coasters away, the cards away, like they threw them into the crowd. Like, it was, you were truly there, and it was one of the coolest things. They were awesome people in character or not in character. It was just a great experience regarding that.
And another cool thing that happened in the Faint of Hearts bar is the Neverenders, which is Sean Redman's, you know, the cover band that they put together, They played in Faint of Hearts, like, on the first night of sailing, and that place was fucking packed. I feel like they really set the precedent of Faint of Hearts being a good hangout. Wait.
They played covers?
Yes.
They did COVID.
Where was this?
This happened in Faint of Hearts, and then they did another set somewhere else, I believe, but they played Faint of Hearts more than once.
I didn't even know this existed.
They put it together themselves. It happened at, like, midnight.
If you went to Faint of Hearts after 10 p.m., right, because the Amory Wars experience was open until 10 p.m., so if you went to Faint of Hearts after 10 p.m., not only would you see Al and Claudio, but you would also see Ambelina, and then there was a guy dressed up as the gunslinger, and then there was a guy dressed up as a jar of mayonnaise, which mayo, it was probably the best moment ever that I captured is from one of the indoor shows when he went the lyric, I need mayo. I zoomed in on him in the audience in his mayo jar, and it was just brilliant. I feel like a real cinematic masterpiece.
I'm so upset right now. Oh my gosh.
That's the thing. It's just that it's like every nerdy Coheed fan's wildest dreams were a reality on that boat. People in cosplay, people taking pictures with characters. Oh, and that's not even going into, which I guess we can kind of sway into, Wilhelm Ryan and the Red Army soldiers.
That photo op was so cool. Rob, these dudes were spot on Red Army soldiers. They had the guns. Wilhelm Ryan was in character and he was killing it. He was joking with people. He was getting them to laugh, but also like be slightly terrified of him. The best moment of that experience was watching Cambria get proposed to in costume during that photo op. That was just phenomenal.
Oh my gosh. I am blown away by this. This is insane. This is surreal. These are things that if you told me 2 years ago would happen, I would not believe you.
The really cool thing is more fans that we got to work with, the two Red Army soldiers. Now, the first night, the Red Army soldiers were out on the pool deck watching the Deer Hunter, which, Rob, I felt like that was the moment you were there with us in spirit. When the Red Army soldiers were watching the Deer Hunter, that was you. And those were two fans who won a contest that Sixthman did in the SS Neverender family. It pays to be involved in the community when it comes to stuff like this. And then for the photo ops, it was just another two fans, really awesome guys that live in Florida who were amazing and loved doing it. And those costumes were no joke. And then Torin, which is the guy that was Wilhelm, absolutely amazing. He got super into the Amory Wars, is now very invested, as of right now, reading Year of the Black Rainbow, which I could not be more proud of. Year of the Black Rainbow is
absolutely
the best chapter of the Wilhelm story. Yes.
Before you know who he is. Yeah.
Yeah. And, well, anyway, and, I mean, you still know who he is. He had a list of, like, Wilhelm-isms, like, things that Wilhelm was, I'm going to dominate you. Just, he was so into
it.
And
is that his catchphrase? Is that his catchphrase?
Yes, there were just a lot of, no, that's not his catchphrase. Please don't quote me. But I mean, that dude sat through 4 hours of costume and makeup to pull off the Wilhelm Ryan, and it was fucking incredible. Amazing. And then the people with the poses that they were doing in the photo ops, like all the, you can go see all the photos. They're all there. Especially in group two, photos are incredible.
Everyone had a lot of fun with it. Like that was the coolest thing, was watching people respond so well to the Amory Wars in person. They're slowly taking over their own convention. Like it's amazing.
In some ways, it really was like Coheed Con. Oh my god, I didn't even. Devin very briefly mentioned Cambria's proposal in the photo op, but I want to say another thing about this Cambria. It's Jan. She's amazing. I love her, and congratulations to her and
congrats,
Adam. But the way that she did the energy blasts on her hand was fucking genius. Like, she had, I don't know what exactly it was, but she had it on her fingertips, and it was, like, red, clear, like, cellophane, and she could stick her hands on it, and so it was just genius. It was amazing. And extra genius, the way that she did her makeup so that she could have the white eyes, she put on an additional set of eyelashes at the top. Like, you can't see this on the podcast, but at the top of, like, your eyelid under the eyebrow so that there were eyelashes when she closed her eyes. It was thoroughly thought out costume. 10 out of 10.
People love the Amory Wars, and it's so cool to be surrounded by those people where we are not often surrounded by those people.
True. And then the same with, when I know we're not getting into the Amory Wars experience, but Ambelina in the Amory Wars experience, that's Chesh Smiles on Instagram. She's amazing. That's her cosplay. You know, that was, it was like, oh my God, you're an amazing Ambelina. Want to do this? You know, like it was absolutely incredible.
I mean, we talked about her like over a year ago in our group chat. Like I was like, hey, or whatever. We were looking at that TikTok and Cindy was like, I already know this person. I've already seen this person. Because, you know, word gets around fast, especially with this stuff, you know, and it's so incredibly well done. So incredibly well done.
Not only that, but like when she posted that cosplay on Instagram, it was like really like I can't remember if it was the video that I saw. But anyway, it was amazing. It was like absolutely stunning.
I'm sorry I'm not leading any of this conversation. It's just there's so much that I just didn't do anything. And so I'm like,
dude, I was on the boat and there's so many things I didn't do. And also, it's a lot. And that's what's difficult about like trying to talk about it on the podcast is like, you can talk about all the events and all the things, but like communicating the feeling of just like everywhere you go, there were familiar faces. That right there was like just insane. You wake up in the morning, you leave your cabin to go get breakfast and your friends are there and you're passing people in the hall. And even the people that you don't know, I'm like literally going to cry. Even the people that you don't know are super nice and mega friendly and just genuine. And it's very hard to communicate that very like right feeling of like, wow. Like anyway, hop in an elevator. Oh, there's Devin. I mean, it was just 4 days of that, which was the perfect amount of time, I think. Anyway, I'm going to shut up. I feel like I'm talking a lot. But
it's like you were working this cruise or something. It's crazy.
Well, on the other end of things, there were a lot of, as Cindy said, a lot of just things happening, and it was so hard to do everything. Alyssa and I had color-coded schedules that we made our wallpapers each day just to keep up with everything, and we still miss stuff. There were two Q&As. One was with Claudio, and then one was with Coheed, and the group of people that got to ask questions did include myself, but everyone else was super cool, and we kind of formed our own little group. Like, we would talk, and we would link up just on the boat, like us, and it was really, really cool. John Rua had a, like, dance class on board, and people showed the hell up for that.
I regret missing that more than most things, because it was, like, I watched video, and I was like, oh my God. It was beautiful. Synchronized dancing to In Keeping Secrets. Are you fucking kidding me? It's amazing. I love John Rua. I love him.
You know what's crazy about this whole thing? It's like we interviewed John Rua way back in the early days of the podcast. You know what I mean? And we're just like, man, how cool would it be just going on tour? And if like you just dance, it'd be a really cool, interesting thing. And he's been, you know, super all about it. And then over the course of like a year and a half, 2 years, it's like the Hamilton, like video comes out on Disney Plus, and it's just like, that's our guy. That's our guy right there. It's so cool to see, you know, people who are so deep in this community, even if they're super successful or whatever, you know, it's like, that's one of us. And to see him go on the cruise and be like, yeah, you know what, I was in Hamilton, I'm already doing a ton of shows, you know, I, you know, have this company where we do tons of stuff all the time, but I will absolutely be on this cruise and I will absolutely just hang out with all the fans and people just like him. It's really heartwarming to see.
I think one of the funniest parts of that was Claudio, like, jumped on the stage and, like, just jumped around for, like, 10 seconds and then ran off. That was it. That was his participation.
That's accurate.
I only got to see a little bit of it. There was different autograph signing sessions, And I didn't catch the first one, but I did catch the second one, which was with Weird Science and Hail the Sun. So I felt a little obligated to be there. Both of my boys, my drummer boys, were there. But then after that was probably the most unexpectedly fun thing of the cruise, which was Stump the Steever. And it was three fans that got chosen to do trivia against Travis. And one of them was Mr. Pugsley Reyes. And holy shit, that was so much fun. They were so funny together.
That was an incredible watch, but it was also extremely painful at times for some of these questions, because I'm sitting there just like holding my head in my hands being like, no, they're not going to say that, are they? They're not going to say that, because they're like, yeah, we're totally just going to say this. I mean, that's what it's going to be. And I'm like, no, it can be incredibly frustrating for the Coheed questions, but the rest of it, like, yes, super, super charismatic people.
I missed Stump the Steever, and I'm sad about it, but I did get to see and hang out with Pugsley a bunch, and I fucking love that guy.
Claudio and Zach were in the crowd watching it, and Claudio ran backstage, and
that was the funniest part, dude. That was hilarious.
Yeah, you know, when he kept going to, quote-unquote, check his zipper and get the answers for COVID questions from Claudio, that was...
He just comes back, and he's like, Constantine Priests.
Damn, I wish I was there. Damn!
And you can be there by watching the video on his YouTube channel.
Good plug, Rob. Good plug. So, you know, I'm sorry. We did not lead with Merch Monday on a whatever day this podcast drops.
It'll drop on Friday. It'll just be next Friday. I couldn't start with Merch Monday on a Friday because I went to merch on the second day. And that was the worst decision of my entire life.
No, Devin. I went to merch on Wednesday, and that was the worst decision.
Oh. Stuff was sold out the first night. Entire shirts, like every size, gone. Koozies, gone. It was a madhouse.
Fanny packs, gone. Like, seriously, books, comic books, gone. I bought, like, 4 t-shirts. Everything was so fucking awesome. Like, it's like you go in. Here's the danger of being on a cruise, okay? For those of you who weren't there. You link your bank account, credit card, whatever, to your Norwegian account, and your key card is the magic for the whole cruise. So you go get a drink at the bar, key card. Go to a restaurant to eat, key card. Go to get merch, key card. So it's very dangerous to really lose touch with how much money that you're spending on merch. And I have no regrets whatsoever, but there were these absolutely incredible windbreakers. They're super top of the line. I bought one. My husband got one. He picked merch for himself. It's the first time he's ever done that. I'm so proud. He got the windbreaker and the button up with the symbols all over it and the basketball shorts.
He gets on the boat, you know, with you know, sea wind in his hair, and he's on there, and he's like, you know what, this band's not half bad.
I think overall he enjoyed himself, despite my being running around literally all the time. I was never still. I probably walked like 110 miles in those 4 days easily. The boat was huge.
As it was big, it was super manageable, though. Like, it was, like, if you knew where you needed to be, you could be there.
Well, I don't know. I did get lost more. I don't know. I got lost, like, a lot.
Guys, I think it's time. I think it's time we talk about the thing everyone wants us to talk about, okay? There were some pretty killer performances on this boat. Not just by Coheed, but by, like, everyone. What shows did you guys see?
So, oh, goodness.
Because Taking Back Sunday was one night only, right?
Yeah, they performed the first night, and then they got off the boat. If you know me, you know my feelings on Taking Back Sunday, so I'll stop the conversation there.
I was not present for the show. I heard it was great. I was not present for that show.
Well, they took back Wednesday, or whenever they played.
Definitely Monday.
They took back Monday.
There were people there. Only for Taking Back Sunday, it seemed like, and they seemed like they were having a great time. So that's
got to be a crazy experience to be a Taking Back Sunday fan and then be on a cruise ship for like 5 days with another
with a bunch of Coheed fans at that.
And it's just like you're walking around, you're like, is that dude wearing armor and holding a gun? What's happening? What's happening right now? Is that, did that guy have a hole in his forehead? What is going on? Mary, get the kids.
Hey, no kids on the boat. No kids on the boat.
Kids on the boat. Well, that's not true. There were some kids. There was at least...
Guys, hang on. Everyone was a kid there. They were all children of the fence.
None of us. Even that, even your beautiful, dumb pun aside, we were all children because it was a whole bunch of debauchery. But I want to know if there's any credibility to the pineapple thing. If you know, you know. Somebody please tell me if there was 100%, any credibility 100%, to that whatsoever.
100%.
You don't even know.
I do.
If you're involved in this community in any way, you know that we can be a dramatic crew. And that drama is just, it comes with the territory of having mixed people from all sorts of backgrounds and all walks of life and all tastes and everything. It's just a melting pot of community, which is one of the great things about Coheed. Somebody said it best on Twitter. They said, there's not one song for everyone, but the vastness of their catalog, there is something for everyone, which is brilliant. Brilliant. Anyway, the point is, you know that sometimes things get out of hand and people fight and people argue, and I shit you not, I do not know even now of anything like that that happened on the boat. As far as I know, there was no instances of like anything negative, which is, that's pretty fucking impressive.
Like, we're all there to have a good time. Like, you just gotta leave that shit at the door, man. Like, people went in with history, but I don't really think that affected anybody's time on the cruise. It was just so much fun, and everyone was there to have a good time. The unlimited drink package that was free for everyone probably helped in that scenario. But,
okay, but they were definitely making weak drinks on account of that, for sure.
Oh, probably. I mean,
Wednesday I started drinking at like 9:30 in the morning and somehow was fine. Maybe, I don't know.
You know what was extra fine? The motherfucking deer hunter.
Okay, all right, let's go. All right, let's do this right now. Because, Cindy, I want to talk to you about something. Did you talk to Casey before these shows? I need to know right now. You need to be honest with me. Did you talk to Casey about these set lists?
Why would I talk to Casey? How would I talk to Casey?
Because apparently you did. Because this was so Act 5 heavy, I thought
don't
in my head...
Don't fucking tell me what I missed, Devin. Rob, please don't tell me what I missed.
So the first night, which I'm the only one we're going to talk about right now, they opened with the old Haunt, which was great. They did the Indigo Child, the first debut of that track since it was released, which was like 21st of October. So 4 days later, they're like, all right, we'll play it live. And that's awesome. They did Congregation, Sermon, and Slit, which is great. The Revival, which is Act 5. They did the Tank and Mustard Gas, which is Act 3. And then they followed it up with the March and the Most Cursed of Hands. And they closed the show with Life and Death. And I'm like, they've just played three songs from Act 5. Cindy is happy for no reason.
I have never been more disappointed to have missed a show, which I didn't miss all of it. I did catch a few songs. I was everywhere all the time. I never stopped moving. I have regrets, okay? Regrets in the form of shows I missed. But no regrets in the form of all the people I got to meet because I was moving around so much.
Cindy, while I won't talk exactly about the next set list for the Deer Hunter, I do want to mention, if we're just going to talk about the songs they played from Act 5, like, Cindy, they played the March again. They played it twice, okay, on this cruise, which is like, what?
He
what
just
is
wants
happening?
To hurt my feelings.
They played the
and
the
second
of
one
hands.
Was at the indoor show, too, right? That was
yes.
in Stardust. Oh, I'm
yes.
so upset.
They played the Most Cursed of Hands and the March again. And then for their final show, they played, for you, just from Act 5, they played the March to open up. So you missed it three times. They also played, where is it? The Flame is Gone,
I'm done.
And they also played as the finale. Do you know what they did for the finale?
Don't tell me.
The Moon Awake. You missed, you. If you like Act 5, almost this was the a whole good fucking set
album.
For you.
Literally almost the whole album throughout
literally
the
game. Almost the whole album.
What the hell?
Devin?
So I only got to see them one time. And it was.
Even.
They were the band that was playing on the pool deck as the boat was leaving the port of Miami. So you have the whole city going by you. As they are just absolutely killing it, and the lights are beautiful, and they sound phenomenal. It was a magical experience. Like, it was euphoric. Alyssa and I looked at each other, and we were like, whoa.
Please ask me where I was when the boat was pulling away from my head.
Where were you?
I was in the medical facility with Al the Killer.
Oh, my God, Cindy.
I have no regrets. None. What a story to tell. Why did you miss that deer hunter set on the pool deck on Coheed Cruise? Well, I was hanging out with Al the Killer, making sure his brain wasn't actually going to come out of his forehead.
So, in closing for this opening set for the deer hunter, it's like every song, they played 9 songs. Every song except one, which was the new one from Indigo Child, was from the Acts. Like, they're just from the Acts, which is like, what is happening? What is happening? It's an unimpeachable set list, in my opinion. And they played, Devin, they played The Tank. They played Mustard Gas. It's so good. It was incredible.
Insane. It was one of the best Deer Hunter sets I've ever seen. It was probably the best.
I mean, the next day they played a new song, too. It's like, come on, man.
They were playing the same time Coheed was playing, and that's... You know, I knew somebody who changed their Coheed show just to catch the Deer Hunter show so they could see the Deer Hunter all 3 times and still see the Stardust Coheed show. That was cool.
I feel like that's something Rob would have done.
I'm absolutely in the same boat. I literally, if I had gone, that's what I would have done. And I love Coheed. I do. Truly. I wouldn't be on here if I didn't. But, I mean, you know, I really want to see the Deer Hunter.
All right, so... Are we moving on from Rob's great obsession to Devin's great obsession now?
I suppose.
Hail the Sun was also on this cruise. That just does something to me. I had to miss their first performance on the boat to wait for Weird Science and Fire Deuce. But then I saw them the second time they performed in the atrium. And it was just insane to see people on the balcony, on the stairs, and packing out the atrium. To see them perform. That was so insane. That was like worlds collide, man.
I caught part of that show when I was passing through. I stopped at the bar to get a drink. And where the bar was like right there on the side of the stage in the atrium. And so when you're standing there waiting at the bar, you can see the side of the stage. And you can see the people right there on the rail. And West Coast Devin was right up front. And oh my God, watching West Coast Devin watch Hail the Sun, and Coheed too for that matter, is like, it's magical. It makes you, like, it like elevates the experience to see how emotional and into it he got. Anyway, so after I got my drink, I went and stood in the crowd, and I was actually only 2 people behind you, Devin, but it was so densely packed that like, I mean, it was packed. Everybody was in there to see Hail the Sun. It was incredible. Absolutely. I mean, and awesome. And they played Relaxed Divide, and that's what I got to hear. And I fucking love that song. And I was like, oh my God, they're playing this song. Yeah.
For me, it was watching that entire Hail the Sun set, seeing the entire place pack out for them. And then 15 minutes later, after they play their final note, Coheed plays their first of that evening. And that was just a surreal experience for me. And I was, like, if this is a tour package, do I ascend and just be done with everything after that? Because I've reached my peak. But then I saw them again, their final time, at the Spinnaker's Lounge, which is where they held the karaoke. And that was when some people who didn't get to catch the other sets, like our friend Ian, who was also a part of the immersion stuff, he got to rock out, which was cool. But we kind of had like a big group for the final show, and it was a really good send-off for him. West Coast Devin was in his Shark Josephine costume, as well during that performance.
Get all right, you brought up Shark Josephine, and I want to talk about that, but I also want to not forget that one of the cool things is we had Wilhelm Ryan where we were doing his makeup was in the Spinnaker Lounge, and it was like off to the side backstage. And so I was back there for part of it because that was Thursday, right? That was Thursday. So Thursday was the day that Wilhelm Ryan was brought out to the pool deck. So we were extra careful with Wilhelm Ryan's makeup that day. And so it was cool being back there with that process going on and Hail the Sun playing. It was neat. It was a moment where I ran into Donovan backstage and I was like, oh, Devin wishes he was me. And then, you know, very fleeting. I'm sorry. I don't mean that at all.
But like low key.
It was funny.
Well, see, and that's the really cool thing about this cruise is like you could just be going to one of the bars that they have and up. You're talking to Upgrade Hip Hop, and then right down next to you, the entire band, Hail the Sun, sits down, and then now you're having lunch with them, or you go to eat Chinese food at one of the places, and midway through dinner, the Deer Hunter sits down right next to you, and you try to text Rob.
I'm leaving this conversation right now. I can't.
Quite a while we were hanging out with Upgrade on the, what was they called? The Top Deckers. I feel like it had a stupid name. Anyway, it was on the very back of the ship, and it was like a little outdoor vibe. And we hung out with Upgrade Forever. I mean, Travis passed through, and Ernie passed through. Weren't we waiting for Ernie? I don't know. Anyway, the point is,
he never came.
And then Wednesday, as people were leaving for the Bahamas, Claudio and Chandra were just like posted up in the atrium. Which is the, you know, again, the main bank of elevators, main way to get through the ship. They're just hanging out there, talking to people and hanging out. And it was like just super fucking cool.
You know, you mentioned Ernie, and all I can think of is the fact that he wasn't outside collecting tickets for this past tour. You know what I mean? And then finally, it's like all the people all at once. And he's just vibing, just wearing practically nothing, just hanging out. Like, it's like he's making up for the lost time.
Well, speaking of Ern, this will kind of take us into our final.
Before we get there, we need to go back to Josephine.
Oh,
yeah, okay. Hammerheads.
It was probably the most perfect thing that's ever happened in the history of ever. And once again, the video that was taken did not come out. I'm like the luckiest person alive because Devin is 0 for 2 on getting his fucking trolls on video. But I was on the pool deck and there's an automatic door that leads from the pool deck inside the ship and there's a bank of elevators. The fucking automatic door opens. I cross the threshold and at that exact moment, fucking Shark steps off the elevator and turned towards me and I saw that it was Devin and I read the Josephine across the front and it was like, I just can't. It's too much. He stayed in that costume for so long. He was like, I've been looking for you everywhere. And I was like, well, here I am. And puts, I found him. In the end, I found Josephine. I just want to say that again.
It was a core memory having them both walk up to our table and just.
I fed Josephine a piece of cantaloupe or
something. Yeah.
Fell in. It was very. Really and truly, this cruise was something that everybody should experience at some point in your life. In any way that you have to make it happen that obviously doesn't destroy your life, but it's just like an above and beyond thing. And now we can move it into the final Weird Science and the final Fire Deuce show.
Before we get into this, I do got to say, I'm so stoked that this even happened. You know what I mean? Like, I look at the set list and I'm like, I can't believe this happened. I watch the videos and I'm like, I can't believe this happened. And it's such a crazy experience because, like, I feel like I was there. Like, watching these videos and everything, it's like, wow. I can't believe what they played. I love that they were just hype men for each other, which was so cool to see. This is such a cool Weird Science Show. Such a cool Weird Science Show.
He comes out dressed up as Michael Myers from Halloween and does a riff on the Vaxxas intro, you know, saying that there is no time. Well, there's a little time. And it's just, it starts out so campy and so funny, and halfway through the set, he's like, damn, this shit is hot, and he has to go change it. They had all this production, and Dirty Urn comes out with a table and a MacBook, like they're playing in a basement.
His fucking fur coat and his chain.
I couldn't put into words the vibe. It was, as much as you're on a cruise ship, you're also in a club with them, and it felt so intimate, and it was a beautiful send-off.
To do it any other way would be incorrect. This is the correct way to experience Weird Science.
Also, a hell of a way to experience Upgrade Hip Hop. There was a very long time, a lot of campaigning to get Tom on that boat, because he's amazing. I mean, he belongs. He belongs, and I feel like people really, really dug it. I'm so glad that he was able to get on the boat and be part of the Weird Science Show, and because holy shit, he's amazing. He fucking crowd surfed during a song and didn't miss a lick, not a single beat, even when he was almost dropped on his face, because this is a cruise ship. This is fine. Anyway, absolutely incredible, stellar performer. I'm happy for him. I'm glad he was there. And also, I would be remiss not to mention Ernie having his butler deliver veggies to the stage so that during Baby Carrots they could throw vegetables at the audience. I mean, Weird Science is a gift.
I was just going to talk about a couple of Weird Science songs I thought were interesting choices. Let's talk here. I mean, we were all expecting Conspiracy Theories, right? Like, that's clearly, like, such a huge song, such an amazing song. I'm very glad they did American Idol live with Upgrade. Like, that's, I mean, clear choice here. And then, I hate to make it so Weird Science heavy, but the finale, the last song, fuck you and your filthy A&R department. Thank you. Thank you.
What a way to go out.
That's all I wanted.
What a way to go out. The whole boat.
They could have played that 8 times in a row. I would be happy. So good. It's so good. Oh my God. But incredible. I mean, so here's the set list. So they did the intro, like Devin was talking about. They did Rebel Indie. They did Conspiracy Theories without Mel Gibson. They did Baxter Stockman, which is Upgrade. They did it in unknown track that's labeled Schmicky 2 on the set list.
It's
that's Schmucky.
Schmucky, because what I can see is Schmicky, S-C-H-M-I-C-K-Y 2.
Oh, it's Schmucky, Schmucky Thompson.
It's just shortened for the set list.
Cool. They did American Idol, like we said. They did Godzilla for Upgrade. They did Further Down the Rabbit Hole for Upgrade. They did, what do you say, Baby Carrots?
Diet.
Okay, thank you. Steady Straight Lights, Diet 2.0, and Fuck You and Your Filthy A&R Department.
Yeah, can we go back to how they did Steady Straight Lights? Because, like...
Josh changing the R word to stupid as hell in his lyrics was such a, like... I don't want to say redemption, but, like, it just felt right. Like,
it shows growth, for sure.
It was the way to end out on, like... Even now, after all this time, Josh is still growing and is still... showing that he's just such a good guy. It was like, oh, we're supporting the right people. It felt really nice.
You know, he was talking a little bit about, like, the whole project itself, how it was kind of a way to, you know, deal with his own personal demons, you know what I mean? Things that he thought about. And he just doesn't have that much in him anymore like this. And I think
much respect for that.
Absolutely. It's like, really hard to stare yourself
Like, one of the first times that he talked about it, he said, you know, I'm just not angry anymore. How fucking... Dude. Yes. Like, that's growth. That's amazing. You can't be mad at that. You can't be upset with that. That's Nothing but love. Much love, as Andrew Burford would say.
Like we said before, growth.
While Josh's wife, Tammy, could not be on the cruise, his stepdaughter Maggie could, and she came up and did a little rap that they wrote together. Like, it was like three bars, but it was so cute, and it's just...
She came up there like a whole-ass rock star, too. She owned that stage.
Did you get to hang out with Maggie at all, Cindy?
So it's funny. I did. The Pool Deck Coheed show on Thursday. Oh, boy. We're not talking about the Coheed shows yet. I can't tell this story. But I did. I got to watch that show with Maggie. I'm not going to tell the story. We're not talking about that. Am I going to tell the story? Fuck it. I'm going to tell the story.
Tell the story.
This is devastating. If you were on the boat and you saw this happen, please, can we start a support group?
Oh, no. Oh, no. Is it what
Yeah. It was so devastating. Oh, and I have a follow-up that's really going to hurt. Okay.
I would like to title the story like I did when she told me the first time. We're calling it Maggie's Monsters. Go ahead.
I forgot about that. Shit. Okay. So, I watched this Coheed show from the little side stage area because I was working. And Maggie was standing right beside me. And, you know, watching the show, there's one of the girls from Sixthman is on my other side. She's a huge Coheed fan. Her name is Rachel. She's amazing. And we're watching the show, and there's this little tiny bird just kind of flitting around. And it was funny because it had flown down from the top, the upper pool deck, and landed on the barricade right beside this guy. This guy turned silently. Jumped so high, it scared the shit out of him. Anyway, I'm losing it, and I'm not even there yet. I'm just trying to put it off because it's so sad. Anyway, so this bird was, you know, enjoying flitting around the Coheed show, eating the dragonflies. Shit you not, dragonflies that were flying around the pool deck during this cruise. Anyway, cute little blackbird. And then... Maggie and I just both happened to look at the same time, away from the stage, and there's this hawk, and at that exact moment, the fucking hawk swoops down and grabs the bird. It was so traumatizing. That is not what you want to see happen during a Coheed show. Ooh, I feel like it sounds like I'm crying. I'm not. I'm holding it together. I'm just... Other people saw this happen. We need a support group. That was traumatizing. The follow-up that I want to add, just very quickly, is that earlier that day, I was in Wilhelm Ryan's chambers, and I took a photo of what may or may not have been that exact same hawk, which had been sitting outside Wilhelm Ryan's chambers all day that day. So.
The weirdest part is that you caught him whispering to the hawk.
Woof. So, anyway, very traumatizing experience. Did not want to tell that story tonight. Here we are, reliving the biggest pain that I suffered on this boat. Thank you. Thank you.
Birds work for the bourgeoisie.
Birds aren't real.
Fire Deuce is real.
Oh, yeah.
Cleveland Stever is real.
Oh, my God.
And Travis Stever perform on stage together.
Being Cleveland Stever and Travis Stever in the same place at the same time was the most epic experience.
Okay, guys, be quiet. We know the joke. Okay, we know the joke of this whole idea, but
there's
like...
There's no joke.
What happened? Because I saw it, and I was like, what's happening? I was very confused. Like, we all know. Like, we know it's fun, you know, we'll make jokes and say, oh, you know, here's our fake names and stuff. And then we'll be like, oh, yeah, you know, Travis and they have a beef. We know what actually has happened. What happened on this boat? How did Travis and Cleveland end up on the same place at the same time? How do?
So, really, this was just a matter of quinky-dink. We got some new members. We got Anal Allen. Kevin Allen's alternate ego, and Deuce Shish Kebab, Mark Shishky, up on there in the horns. Deuce Newton, which is Mr. Josh Shepard's persona. And then Claudio, oh goodness, Clyde Dirty Deuce is what he went as on the liner notes, but I think he went by something else. And then you have Zach, whose name I am blanking on. And then, of course, Cleveland Seaver, Travis Seaver. But in our bit, during White Claw, Travis was pulled on stage to bury the hatchet with Cleveland, who was also on stage. So Cleveland's real.
I'm hurt by this in so real, many ways.
But he's also real fucking disappeared again.
Yeah.
Dead.
He's died.
Listen. I get it. Dead. But also, let us not forget that a Kiss cruise immediately followed the Coheed cruise, and it would be such a Cleveland move to run off and join Kiss. I'm just saying.
There Cindy goes again, thinking people are alive after they've been canonically killed off.
You know what? Fuck you, Devin.
It's true.
Fuck you both.
That's what she's about.
So the Fire Deuce set list was amazing. They were the interplay of jokes really between Deuce Newton and Cleveland Steever was phenomenal. They had a good back and forth. The top of the set list says Fire Deuce fucks the pool deck, and they started with Sonic Fuckfest. So you knew what you were getting into, but the best part of this show was Cleveland pops a bottle of whiskey, both hands around it, and chugs for like a hot second there, and Clyde Dirty Deuce in the back on keys looked at him and his jaw dropped, genuinely dropped. He was concerned, but also impressed, but also worried. It was the most genuine reaction I've ever seen.
They played fast food.
Just imagine being on that pool deck and not knowing Fire Deuce. And like not like just like, oh, this sounds interesting, and or maybe they had heard the hip hop and they're like, oh, but that this next band's gonna be similar, and then fucking fast food and fornication. It's like, I'm on the road, my steamy jeans.
they're just in there, and they're just like, is that Travis? Is that what's happening?
And shout out to Amber from One Among the Crafts, who looked identical to Cleveland Steever from the White Claw music video. She bodied that cosplay with the White Claws to complete it.
Ooh, except for that one photo where she's got two White Claws in one hand and not a White Claw in both hands.
Disappointing for sure.
I love Amber. She fucking went for it, and it was absolutely amazing.
But I think it was just, we needed Fire Deuce to kind of bring us back to Earth after, like, being in our absolute bag from Weird Science. Like, that was, it was kind of emotional, man.
I mean, that's the wild thing, you know, day one. That was day one. I mean, like, we covered a lot more stuff here than just happened on day one. John Rua didn't happen on day one. All the Hail the Sun shows to Deer Hunters, all that wasn't on day one. It was, some of it was, but not all of it. Anyway, the point is, it was a lot. And, you know, from getting on the boat and seeing a thing, in my perspective, a tiny bit different. When I got on the boat, everything was still going up. It was really fucking cool to, you know, watch a literal mad team of insanity flying at putting all this stuff up. Decals in the elevators, clings on the staircases, the elevator clings, the big main bank of elevators with each of the band members on it. It was just...
Our friend Sean really? stole those clings of the band members. you know your boy over here stole one of the elevator clings on the inside, because those are going in the trash. I yanked one of those off, but Alyssa got a Polaroid of me looking at it and contemplating it, and then the next picture that she took was me reading, "Please do not remove from elevators, we have cameras." And it looked like I just saw a ghost. Like, it's an amazing...
What are they going to do, Devin? They're not going to get rid of you. You put their kids through college at this point.
Listen, they almost got rid of his ass after the Emery Wars experience, Rob. It really did almost happen.
No, that's not true.
I hate to bring it up again because we're not telling it again, but...
If that would have happened, Claudio, Chandra, Travis, Josh, everybody would be like, uh-uh, no, he's staying.
I'd have to walk the Coheed plank.
You'd get an official pardon.
So, I think that we've hit a good halfway point. We've left a lot left undiscussed.
We haven't even talked about Coheed playing.
Right. We can't do a final thoughts on day one because it's got to be all together. So I think we're going to hold final thoughts until we get done with talking about the cruise, which will be probably in a couple episodes.
I think it's a good idea. And also we have no idea how split these episodes are going to be. But just to put this out there, we'll have a whole nother episode covering the remainder of the content, and then we want to do another episode where we hear from you. So if you have a special experience that you want to share on the podcast, please reach out allthingscoheed@gmail.com. Are those E's threes? I don't know, because I don't have access to any of that anymore because I quit the podcast.
Turn those E's into threes to follow us on our social medias like Instagram and Twitter, but not Facebook because social media is so weird and we don't know what we're doing. But we kind of do, especially thanks to Yui, who I want to give a huge shout out to because she's been absolutely holding it down in all aspects of All Things Coheed. She is a rock star and we love you so much, Yui. Thank you for everything.
We love you, Yui. On that note, this has been half of another episode of the All Things Coheed podcast. I'm Cindy.
I'm still counting this as a full episode. I'm Devin.
And I'm Magana Rob. Thanks for joining us.
Hip hop band at a band, Jesus Christ. I'm 105 years old. Anyway, he wants us to talk about bands because it's the second to last thing on our list.
No, I want to talk about the Deer Hunter.
Oh. Well, now I forgot what I was going to say. What was I saying?
You said I was rushing the podcast. I know but Rob wants to rush this, but yeah. Before that, we were talking about merch.
No, after that.
After that, we were talking about...
No, there was no kids and a lot of debauchery in the best way.
Oh, right. Okay, thank you, Devin.
I'm sure there was a lot of debauchery in a lot of ways.
No. Just listen.
I wasn't prepared to be, to shift gears back again.
Seriously?
I'm good.
Why are my headphones only half working? It's really fucking me up. I hate it. Okay.
All right, do the intro, nerds.
Oh, I get to do the intro. It's been a minute, hasn't it? Oh, no, it hasn't been a minute.
So, yeah.
Anyway.
Moving on from...
No, I don't want to move on yet. I want to say one thing.
Take it away, Rob.
So, yeah, take it away, me, who wasn't on the cruise. Absolutely. I will take it away in the fact that... Sorry, one second, guys.
I love these suspenseful moments where it just...
Sorry, I'm swearing vengeance against dogs. One second.
You're good.
His eyes are just... his monitor so perfectly. He looks like an anime character. Looking dumb and cute.
Thanks for joining us.
Why do you always do that?
Oh, God.
Well, speaking about...
Sorry, Devin. Y'all are goofy.
In a silly, goofy mood. But...
All right. I don't know what to tell you, babe. I'm not a fucking smartwatch technician. I don't know.
All right, what's the problem?
Google it.
Put it in rice.
Get an old tech and a young tech.
Okay. Let's check my poll.
Jesus Christ.
I can't. I'm smiling too hard. My phone doesn't even recognize me.
Wow. Mood.
Oh, come on. Oh, I'm not connected to the Wi-Fi. And I didn't realize that. Fun fact.
Wait, is Unheavenly Creatures you're talking about the bank robbery video?
In Old Flames they were wearing the NECA masks.
That's right. Sorry, it's kind of hard to go back to that when we've got Max 2 to think about.
I know, it's so much.
Cindy, before we continue, can I have you unplug and plug back in your microphone? And make sure it's connected in your Skype.
It is connected in my Skype.
There, you sound so much better now.
Okay.
Devin, agree?
Agree.
Okay.
Anyway.
I'm going to stab my dog. Betty, stop. But no, super, I swear, everything is good and holy if you don't stop.
Rob's out here killing dogs like Coheed is killing Gibbs.
Oof. Oof, Devin.
That was messed up. I'm sorry, Rob.
Oh, my God. But sorry, no. Rob. Sorry, Coheed.
But no, incredibly.
Have we learned nothing from the Amory Wars experience, Devin? Did we really learn nothing?
Rob is so stressed right now looking at him. He looks so stressed. Sad.
They were all very charismatic and fun to watch. The end.
Okay.
I do want to mention this while we're on merch. It is important to me. I have to hold up my end of a bargain. So if anyone has acquired the one size fits all swimsuit, please reach out to me so that I can acquire this item. And it'll be worth it.
Are you going to wear it? The face is unreadable.
That's a yes.
I will never send you another foot pic again if you wear the bathing suit.
It's happening.
Our bloopers for this episode are going to be wild.
Everyday content. Actually, this is good quality content here.